Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Hey, good morning, everybody. 909 on KDXU. I'm Andy Griffin, and I have two of St. George's finest here with me today, Lieutenant Aaron Bergquist.
Hi. Good morning.
Aaron, how are you? Good to see you.
Doing great.
Appreciate you coming in. Tiffany Mitchell is here as well. Hi, Tiffany.
Hi, good morning.
Everything going good for you guys?
Very well, yeah.
Happy to be here. Interesting, just right here on North Bluff Street, we had a broken down car, and I got to see Tiffany at work making some calls and making sure this guy, apparently he was still moving and his hood was up. And
yeah.
I was thinking to myself, how can he see? And you're like, he can't.
Let's hope he didn't. And
no,
he didn't.
Yeah.
Our officers just pushed him across the bluff and he's out of the way. So,
yay,
all's well.
Yeah, that's good. And, you know, it's tough to see. I think, I don't know that enough of us plan for emergencies. You know, mm-hmm. you should have, Tiffany and Aaron, you guys know, you should have kind of know what you're going to do in each of these situations. If you get a flat tire, you know, what are you going to do? And if it's say it's on the freeway or it's on Bluff Street, you know, 45 mile per hour Bluff Street with seven lanes, you should have a plan in mm-hmm. place. That'd be a good way to start what we're talking about today. What should be my plan if my car breaks down or I have a flat tire on a busy road like Bluff?
Well, obviously, if you can pull off to the side is always best out of traffic.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't, you need help, call dispatch. And just like just now, officer can come out and help you safely get across the road or fix the tire.
Safely being the key word mm-hmm. there, because that's a little scary when your hood's up.
And yeah, especially if you're in traffic.
Trying not to make the problem worse is the first the first thing. And then if you've got to wait for an officer, if it's still not safe enough, that's why we've got the red and blue so we can slow traffic down and and get you out of the way.
Now, I think this guy stayed in his car, right? He never did get out?
I didn't see him get out, no.
Which is, that's what you recommend, right? Mm-hmm. Don't get out and walk, because, I mean, especially at Bluff Street, people are going 50 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And you get hit by a car as a pedestrian at 50 miles an hour, there ain't going to be a tomorrow,
no,
probably.
It's not going to be good.
So, all right. Well, glad he's off the road and they got him taken care of. Any other things you can think of emergency? What if you get in a traffic accident? We always know, get out and assess the damage and exchange phone numbers and insurance companies and all that. Is that right or do we need to know more?
Yeah, you have by law, you have to provide that information, your name, or your insurance information, your contact information with the other driver. If it's not major, hurry and click a few pictures before you move the cars, and then if you can move out of traffic, like Lieutenant said, don't make the situation worse by staying in traffic.
Okay.
You can move out of the way, please do so.
So if I get a little rear ender or fender bender, you do recommend we move, even though...
If you're on Bluff or you're River Road, okay. I mean, if you're, you know, on a side street and you're not causing a traffic hazard, then you're fine. But I mean, common sense will dictate what you should do. If it's feasible and safe to do so, then moving out of traffic is best.
Now, we have that ribbon of highway freeway go right through St. George. What if I break down on the freeway? I've seen people pull off to the left before because that's where they broke down. And I always thought to myself, that's right by the fast lane. That doesn't seem like a good idea. Is that a bad idea, Aaron? What do you think?
I think if you can avoid doing that, sometimes the situation dictates, right? If you can get to the right, we always want you to move to the right side of the road. The roads are kind of developed for allowing that hazard lane over on that side, and it makes it a little easier for emergency vehicles to show up and kind of move traffic to the left versus moving it to the right.
Yeah.
But sometimes you don't get a choice. And then also back to moving out of the roadway, you know, sometimes you're – it looks like a minor fender bender, but you've bent something or the wheel is – or the axle broke and it won't move. And so just try not to make it any worse. If it's in a bad location, we just say get the people – if they can walk to a sidewalk and get out of the roadway, oftentimes we get them kind of in the roadway taking photos. And we don't necessarily want that. If the vehicles are going to stay there, then just let's call 911 and we'll get there as quickly as we can and try to make it safe.
This year has been, unfortunately, a very deadly year on Utah roads. I think the number was over 200 on Utah roads have died. Years ago, they came out with a campaign, zero
fatalities,
a number we can all live with, which unfortunately we haven't gotten anywhere close to that. And it seems especially bad this year. Will you guys go over maybe some of the reasons for that, why people are dying on Utah roads this year?
Yeah, I would say speed is always a contributing factor. Not always, but contributes to a lot of fatalities. Improper turning, not yielding when you're making those left turns. I know people really hate those yellow blinking arrows, but they're here to stay. They're part of our lives. And so following too close is another failure to maintain your lane. Distracted driving.
Do people still see a yellow blinking arrow and go, okay, that means I can go? Or are there still people that think that? Because I think most of us now understand it's green means you can go.
Yeah.
Yellow means you can go if it's clear.
Right. I think that they understand that it's a yield, but it's hard when it's turning red and people don't, they're in the intersection and they kind of panic, you know, oh my goodness, the light's turning red. I'm still sitting here. And what we need to remember is that's okay. You have the obligation to make sure it's safe before you make that turn. And so if you have to sit there until the light's red and then clear the intersection and move through, that's okay.
The problem is the three cars behind that car.
Exactly.
That are trying to also make it.
Antsy, yeah.
Yeah.
I was up in Salt Lake visiting my kids and grandkids, and we came up to a yellow light, and it had been yellow for a moment, so I knew it was going to change red any second, and so I stopped because I wasn't in the intersection yet. And my son, who is not really a super aggressive driver, but he kind of laughed. He's like, "Yeah, you're doing that St. George thing where you stop on a yellow." And I'm like, "Well, I mean, you have each yellow is, had I come up and it just barely turned yellow, I probably would have kept going. But I knew it was going to change red any second, and I stopped." And he was kind of giving me a hard time. But is that fair for him calling it a St. George thing? Because we have red runners.
I feel like we've got a lot of red light runners, yeah. and that also is an issue causing crashes. So I think you did the right thing. I mean, that's what when we talk about entering the intersection when it's yellow, obviously if it's about to turn red like that, it's probably not best to pull out there and just wait for the next one. Patience.
That's what I thought.
Patience is key.
But. Yeah, and I don't even think it's a St. George thing anymore. We've become so blended as a city that we're bringing the habits of a lot of different areas into St. George.
That's true.
And so we're trying to find our way and catch up with the growth to make sure that we've got the infrastructure and the roads and everything ready.
Now, something happened this morning. There was a water main break down on South River Road, and I thought it would be maybe interesting for you to give us the police perspective when something like this happens, because you guys ended up having to actually shut down the road for a little while, right?
It's still shut down.
It is. Still,
it's hard barricaded. So usually when I do lives on crashes or these kinds of incidents, I try to remind the citizens to think about alternate routes to work and to the grocery store or to your kids' school, because there may be a time like today where that route that you take every day is unavailable. And so you got to start thinking outside the box and realize there's different ways to get around the city. You don't have to take the major thoroughfares. And so that's what we had to do today. We had to reroute everybody. It kind of put a kink in people's mornings, but everyone seemed, at least where I was directing traffic, was pretty patient with it and understanding. Good. And
too many of us, and I'm guilty at times, I go, okay, I know exactly how long it's going to take me to get to work. You know, that's going to be 11 minutes. If I leave right now, I'll get there exactly on time. And, you know, radio is very unforgiving. You can't be late in radio.
Sure.
So a lot of us go, okay, I know what it's going to take. If I have to take an alternate route or a detour, it's going to take 13 minutes or 14 minutes, not 11. And so then I start to get a little antsy and stuff.
Sure.
And I'm sure you run into that a little bit as a police force, right?
Yeah. I saw somebody's bumper sticker the other day that said, "Go around me, I left on time."
That's funny.
Go around me, I left on time. Let's go to the phone lines. Adam on line one has a question for y'all. Adam, what's up?
Hey, it's not so much a question. I drive truck for a living.
Mm-hmm.
And I see every day, every single day, I see cars cutting in front of trucks.
Yeah.
Cars pulling in front of big semis. Cars whipping around us because we're going slow, so they just decide to go around us, even though it's not a situation where you can and have a head-on collision because they're not having common sense in driving because they're so sick of truck drivers, so they try to whip around us.
Yeah.
I see it every day. And it, that, and between, like, if you're going down this, getting on the freeway, speed up. Get with the program.
Get with the program.
Freeway.
The on-ramp.
Yeah, merge yep. lane. Hello, speed up. Yeah, no, you're right.
I yes. like calling it the acceleration yes. lane.
Yeah.
Let's accelerate.
Yes, because, because it becomes a real big safety hazard.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we can't get pulled over into the left lane, and all of a sudden that person's still not paying attention, then he goes off into the bar pit, and, you know, I mean, it just causes such chaos.
Something's got to give. The other thing I see, Adam, with trucks is you guys leave enough space because you know how hard it is to stop a big truck. So there's a little gap between you and the car in front of you. And then other cars go, oh, there's a gap. I'm going to go in that spot, not realizing that there was a reason you had a gap there. I see that a lot.
Yep, that and... not using their turn signal and just hurry and pull out in front of us.
Yeah.
I mean, it is ridiculous. And I wish, I mean, am I saying all truck drivers are perfect? No, I'm not. But if we could get some cops on a lookout on that, it would be beneficial. It'd be safe for everyone. Because I don't know how many times I've had cars whip around me and have almost a head-on collision. Mm. And not only them causing each other to kill themselves, they're causing the truck driver to get wiped out. They're yeah. causing the cars behind the truck driver to get wiped out. I mean, there's just no common sense at all when it comes to driving in the state of Utah. And I really say that in the state of Utah in general, there is some really bad, horrible driving.
All right, Adam. Thank you for calling. Appreciate your input today. Good to talk to you. By the way, Adam, my son is a truck driver. My number two son drives truck for a living. And one of my fear, obviously my fear is that someday he'll be harmed, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think the number two fear for me and for him is that somebody's going to do something that will cause him to kill someone
yeah.
else. Because you got to, even if it's not your fault, you got to live with the fact that you ended someone's life. And
sure.
Nobody wants that, right?
No.
So... how do we have some areas of St. George where there are a lot more trucks than other places? What are some of those areas?
Well, River Road, right where we were, River and Brigham.
River and Brigham, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a lot of truck.
Okay. Yeah, and then when you do have a collision there with a bigger truck, then obviously the person in the vehicle is not going to fare so well.
No.
Because they're in a smaller vehicle. So
yeah.
I think it's good to remember that trucks, I mean, they're important. Sometimes my husband will get grumpy if they're on the freeway in the left lane. And I go, you have to remember they're just doing their best too.
Yeah.
They're carrying everything that we need. And so we need to appreciate that and realize what a good job they do and respect how big they are and how long it takes for them to stop.
And it's been, for me, it's been a learning process having my son drive because I didn't think about a lot of that kind of stuff
mm-hmm.
until my son was doing it for a living. And I'm like, oh,
yeah.
You get a whole new perspective. Kind of like, for years I rode a motorcycle, and it's a different perspective on driving when you're in a motorcycle. And as I used to think I was invincible and that nothing would ever happen to me because I was a good defensive driver, and, mm-hmm. and a guy pulled in front of me once. I'm going, you know, minding my own business, going straight, and he decided to turn right in front of me, and I laid it down. In fact, we were talking about accidents earlier and if you're disabled. And I laid it down, the motorcycle, and when it came to a side, me and the motorcycle unfortunately impacted the side of the car. But I'm sitting there on the ground with the motorcycle on one of my legs because I laid it down. And my wife, you know, she had fallen off the back, but she was okay. And she's like, there's like eight guys standing around after the accident looking at me. And my wife's like, do you think one of you could help me lift the motorcycle off my husband? Because they were just standing there looking at it. So,
wow.
Yeah, crazy. We're talking with St. George Police Officers Lieutenant Aaron Bergquist. And did I say that right, Aaron?
Bergquist? Yeah, close
yeah,
enough.
Okay. And you probably get that your whole life. Huh?
My whole life.
And Tiffany Mitchell, Officer Mitchell. Let's take another phone call. Let's see if I can got a name on this one. Rob. Hey, Rob, how you doing today?
Hey, good, Andy. Morning, officers.
Morning.
I've been driving since 1976. Well, actually, earlier than that because I worked on a ranch. But I remember when you renewed your driver's license, you actually had to pass a test, read the handbook, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I think we need to go back to something in that situation as refresher courses, because I also drive truck, and I see so many dumb things as far as you, when you come up and you're in your left-hand turn lane, the lead car goes out in, so they're not turning from the stop bar over in, cutting off the other left-hand turners.
Mm-hmm.
It's just all crazy stuff like that. So I was wondering, would that be a good idea? Refresher courses?
Oh, I think...
Because like Adam, I see so much stupid stuff going on, and like him, I can't stop.
Right.
Yeah.
At any given time, I'm pretty close to 80,000 pounds, and I was always taught that until you see the person that you're passing in the rearview mirror, you don't come into his lane. That doesn't happen.
Right. That's a good rule to go by, though, isn't it?
Yeah. And see, I learned this in 1976. So it's crazy to me. I don't think they even teach that anymore.
Yeah,
I think you're right. Yeah. And you know, the thing about you make a good point, Rob, the fact that, I mean, when's the last time someone like me, I got my license in little after him, 82,
right?
It was when I got my driver's license. I don't remember having taken a test since. Now, I got some refreshers when each of my kids got there, you know, and we helped them study to get theirs, but I don't know that I've taken it.
Yeah.
Driving test or even a written test since then.
Right.
If we could have more education, that would obviously be optimal.
Yeah.
That's something we try to focus on our social media page, on our police website.
Yeah.
We try to add those things that we're seeing problems with, and try to educate the public a little bit more on what the law actually is.
Yeah, I actually just got with my intern, because I'll every once in a while I'll just get the driver's handbook out and put some posts out from that just to try and help.
Good idea.
Help everybody idea. Do better.
I got a text question. This is from Clay. He says, you're talking about arrows, when you know, the turn arrows.
Yes.
He says, can you ask about red arrows at the Middleton Green Springs area exit in northbound lanes as you exit I-15? They show red arrows indicating, to me, no right turns ever. I see most people treat it like a traditional red light. They stop, look, and then go. So what is the law on a red arrow?
So which direction is he saying, north or southbound, did he say?
Let's see.
Because if you're making
northbound. Exit in the northbound lanes as you exit I-15.
Yeah, that's a right turn. Once you stop, you can turn on a right arrow.
Yeah, if you've cleared it.
I think, isn't the law, even if it's a red arrow, if it's clear, if you look and nobody's coming, you can still go, right?
Yeah, you treat it like a stop sign.
Yeah.
And then clear it, and then you can turn. If it's a red arrow on a left-hand turn, then it's no-go.
No-go
unless
ever.
There's a sign that says clear it.
And
which on the exit 8,
yeah,
there's those signs. If you come off the freeway and you're trying to go west on St. George Boulevard.
Or left.
There's that red arrow there, and there's a sign that says you can go when it's clear.
Clear out. Even left turn after stop, it says.
Even if you're, say, so it's a two-lane right turn, even if you're in the left
just on
lane,
that overpass, because it's that, that flow of traffic is going the same direction.
So right turn, yes, but if you're northbound at exit 8 and you're making a left turn, there's only one lane.
Right, left, yeah, that's right.
And so that one
but
says.
But there's two right.
There's
two,
so after you stop and it's clear.
Even if you're in the left lane. Right-hand turn lane, you can go if it's clear.
Right.
Okay. I think that's worth clearing up, because I've had people ask about that before. And I said, I think you can go as long as it's clear.
Yeah.
So.
Right. But if a crash occurs, then
it's your fault.
That's going to come back.
Well, it should be.
You're going to get the citation for not yielding to the red.
Yeah.
Most likely.
Are there, I know, it seemed like to me when I was younger, there were yield signs everywhere, a lot of yield signs all over, in St. George, all over the place. I don't see yields very often anymore. Are they kind of going the way of the dodo? Are they going extinct?
It seems like it.
You see them on the roundabouts. That's
true.
That's
yeah.
always fun.
Yeah.
which unfortunately a lot of people treat them like stop signs, you know, on the roundabout.
Amen. If you follow our social media, we just did 3 videos on how to navigate that Bloomington roundabout, and we were preaching from the rooftops that it's a yield, not a stop.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, treat it like that. Yeah.
Unfortunately, a lot of people just stop no matter what, no matter how clear it is, they're stopping. And it's like, go! I want to push them from behind. Like, go!
But, and back to our semis. You see a lot of our semis in that Bloomington one, and they have to wait, right? They got to wait for that to be clear enough, and then it backs everyone up, and it frustrates people, and then you see some of those things that they're talking about.
Do you, as police officers, do you guys like roundabouts?
I don't mind them because I'm common sense brain, so to me it's common sense. I set myself up ahead of time. Mm-hmm. I think ahead when I'm driving, and so to me it's not frustrating. But when people stop or don't know how to navigate them, then it makes me crazy.
Yeah, because it manages traffic on its own, just the way that it's set up. And so your traditional four-way intersection, if something goes wrong in there, then it can be quite a problem.
Well, and you know, people can't navigate four-way stops either. Yeah. Nobody knows who goes. It's like who's on first, what's on second kind of thing.
If there is an accident, are there more accidents on roundabouts than red lights and stop signs or whatever?
No.
No?
No, hardly ever, unless it's with a semi, maybe, but no, very, very rarely do we have crashes on
roundabouts. That's actually good to hear. That's good. That's why they are gaining popularity, right? Manages traffic, like you said, Aaron, and then less accidents. And that's what we all want.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, it manages the flow of traffic and just kind of keeps things moving, which if you can do it right, it works pretty well.
It's a big if sometimes.
I was a missionary many, many years ago in New Jersey, and they had one roundabout, had 7 lanes of travel in a roundabout.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, a little boy from Utah hitting a 7-lane roundabout, I was pretty scared. If you ever get in like any of the inner 3 lanes, you're never getting out again. It's like an eternity.
That one in Paris that's like massive.
Yeah. It's like 12 lanes or something. So, all right, we're talking with St. George Police Department's finest. We've got Tiffany and Aaron, Lieutenant Bergquist and Officer Mitchell. We're going to take a time out, check weather, and we'll be back with more, including more of your questions on the Andy Griffin Show. By the way, let me give out that phone number, 673-5890 if you want to call, and 467-5842 if you'd like to text.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Hey, welcome back. I am Andy Griffin. It is 9:35. I've got Lieutenant Aaron Bergquist here and Officer Tiffany Mitchell. Hi, guys. Thanks for coming.
Hello.
Appreciate it.
Yes.
Happy to be here.
A couple of news items out there. Today is the 40th anniversary of the We Are the World. All these big artists from around the world got together and sang this song and raised money for starving children in Africa. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you remember that, but
I do remember that.
Mm-hmm. It's a big deal.
I had just graduated high school.
Though, right? Yeah. It means I have a good memory.
You remember that?
I do.
Stevie Wonder.
I do.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's a big deal.
Quick trivia question. Who was the very first singer to sing on that? First one to start the whole thing. And here's a hint. He was one of the biggest stars of the 80s, early 80s.
Michael Jackson.
Close. He was in it, but he didn't start it.
Close.
Very close.
Rick Gervais. I don't know.
It was Lionel Richie.
Lionel Richie.
Yeah. I was thinking Lionel of the Richie curly, started it.
Yeah.
And then Stevie Wonder. You mentioned him. He was the next guy on after Lionel.
Do you remember
Richie,
that, or did you Google it?
I remember the Lionel Richie part, but I actually then this morning I was watching the video of it. And I was like, oh, I remember. Oh, hey, that person. Oh, that's good. Yeah. There were a lot of good. Paul Simon, Billy Joel, Tina Turner, Kenny Rogers. All the big stars from the 80s were in it. And then I read on a news report this morning that they are opening an ice cream hall of fame in Las Vegas, a 30,000 square foot ice cream parlor in Vegas next year.
Of course
will feature a quote unquote ice cream buffet. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I'm going to have to find a way to get to that place.
Really?
Ice cream buffet.
Do you know that I could go my whole life and not have ice cream and be just fine?
You're not an ice cream person.
I'm not.
Really?
There's something wrong with her.
I know. Yeah. Now, put me in front of a nacho bar, and you better get out of the way, because it's going to get ugly.
It's going to get messy.
It's going to get messy, but I'm not going to mess with your ice cream.
Well, okay. I hope they open their ice cream buffet in like November when everybody's given up. If they open it in January, everyone's going to be good.
Yeah, we're all on our New Year's resolutions.
Yeah, for a minute, huh?
Yeah. I think being Vegas, I mean, it's going to be 115 in June, so yeah, they can maybe open it in June. All right, let's go right back to the phone lines, I think. Let me see if I got a name on this. Yeah, Joe. Hey, Joe, how you doing? Thanks for calling in.
Good. Hey, I had a comment. I'm retired now. I didn't drive truck a lot, but there was times in my work that I had to haul equipment and so forth. And the thing that scared me the most would be on two-way traffic. I would have cars in front of me and cars coming at me, and there would be a guy on a bicycle,
ooh,
not in the bicycle lane, trying to ride in my lane because there's not little rocks, mm-hmm, in my lane. And I'm having to make a decision about whether I run over the bike or I hit a car head-on. Yeah. And I know there's been many times when I've gone by the person, I've actually looked in my mirror to see if they were still on their wheels.
Wow.
Yeah.
Talking road bikers, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Pedals.
Yeah.
Bicyclists.
Yeah.
Bicycles. Yes. It would terrify me because I had to decide, am I going to hit somebody head on or am I going to take the biker out? And to be honest with you, I was willing to take the biker out because it's not the guy's fault that's coming towards me.
That's a tough decision to have to make, and not one any of us want to have to face.
No.
So I assume it sounds like you made it through all right. Nobody ever died in any of these.
No, nobody ever happened, but I was scared at times. I would look in my mirror to make sure the guy was upright.
Yeah.
Lots of times I did that.
Yeah. So can you guys, you officers here, talk about maybe bicycle safety on the roads? And so people don't, thank you, Joe, by the way, for calling. So people don't have to make that decision? Or do they? I mean, what do you think?
Yeah.
To me, it seems like no matter what the law is, if you're on a bicycle, you're staying alive should be your number one priority.
You would hope that the cyclists would take their own lives into their own hands and realize it's not a great situation.
Yeah.
In town here, bicycles should be treated like, if they're in the lane of traffic, they should be treated like a vehicle.
So you shouldn't pass it.
So, yeah, if they're trying to, oftentimes you'll see like these e-bikes or pedal bikes that are in the turn lanes and for the most part, they'll try to, I think St. George does a good job with our bike paths and we even try to leave bike lanes on the sides of the roads, mm-hmm, but it's I mean, obviously you can't run somebody over,
right?
Hopefully you're not faced with a decision like our caller here and it's one or the other. That's not a great option. Yeah, that's a tough one.
Yeah, the bicyclists, I know they don't, it's hard for them to ride on the shoulder because of all the debris.
Yeah.
And so they do have rights to that travel lane. You know, you just got to give them that 3 feet, which can be difficult to do. And I know there's a lot of frustration on both ends, cyclists and drivers.
They're looking for a lot of long straight roadway that they can ride. But you've got to have a route that's safe and for everybody.
Yeah.
Let's talk about, I came across an incident yesterday that I had a question about. So we all know what lane filtering is. Maybe if we don't, you can basically, if you're stopped at a multi-lane intersection, a motorcyclist can actually go
between
the vehicles,
yeah, if the,
to the front.
If the vehicles are stopped.
If they're stopped, yeah.
And the speed limit is 45 and under.
Okay.
And they can fit.
Yeah, that's true. If you have a big old bike and there's not a lot of room there, that'd be bad. So yesterday, I'm actually right here on Bluff. I'm about to turn onto Boulevard from Bluff.
Okay.
And I'm in the left turn lane, the right, because it's actually two left turn lanes going onto Bluff. I'm in the right left turn lane, and this motorcyclist comes between me and the straight lane to lane filter, which is legal. I didn't have a problem with it.
I don't know that it is on a turn lane.
Well, that's the question I have. So he wanted to turn left. So what happened was when the light changed, he went from lane filtering, he went and cut in between me and the car in front of me to join the turn lane. And I was like, that's kind of messed up. I'm not sure.
I actually asked this one to our traffic guys recently.
Mm-hmm.
If there's two turn lanes, they can lane filter up the middle.
Okay, he didn't do that. He did it to the right.
He can't do it on the left or the right. Mm. And if there's only one turn lane, they shouldn't be coming up alongside of the vehicle in the lane. So it would have to be two turn lanes, and they can go up the middle.
Yep.
Now, the reason for lane filtering, those of us who have ridden motorcycles for a long time, and I don't ride anymore, but I rode for 20-something years, but is if you never want to be rear-ended if you're on a motorcycle sitting in an intersection, because your life is on the line.
Yeah, and allowing them to move up into a safer position, which is right up there in the front. And again, if all of those things are checking those boxes for them to go in between the two and there's room and everybody is stopped and it's a travel lane that's under 45 mm-hmm. miles an hour.
Well, because think about it. When you've stopped with a motorcycle, you don't have your brake light on usually. You know, you take your feet, you put your feet down and the people in front of you might not see that you're smaller, obviously. And so
misjudge distance.
Yeah.
And a rear end on a motorcycle is bad for the people on the motorcycle.
Yeah.
Isn't that the most common accident too, is rear enders?
Well, I don't know about the most with involving crashes with motorcyclists, but it's definitely the lane filtering is meant for the cyclist safety. And so when done, you know, legally, it's a good thing. And so far, we haven't seen too much problems with it. You get some people that get grumpy about it, but once we educate them, then they understand and it's not an issue.
And I would say I wasn't mad at this guy, and there was no road rage or anything. I just thought, man, that seems kind of unsafe for him to mm-hmm. filter to my right and then all of a sudden cut in between me and the car in front of me as the light turns green and the arrow turned green. I thought,
It doesn't give you a license because you're on a motorcycle to do whatever you feel like doing. You still have laws to obey.
True.
Yeah, it goes back to the old lug nut rule. It's like the bigger lug nut's going to win no matter who's mm-hmm. right or wrong. And so if you're riding a motorcycle or a bicycle, you should mm-hmm. be very cautious.
So when I was in Europe this summer, and I keep dropping that because I love that I was in Europe. It was pretty awesome. But they had these three little teeny cars. Some of them were one-person cars. They were barely bigger than motorcycles. And I thought to myself, man, if they ever get in a wreck, this is going to be ugly. Mm-hmm. But we haven't seen that quite as much here in southern Utah. But is it coming? Is it the market for a little teeny cars, a little two-person or one-person? I mean, we had the smart cars, but these were even smaller than the little smart cars.
I think you see a lot of the Razors now that are street legal and driving around, but they're not as protected.
That's true.
And built as strong as vehicles. And so I haven't personally been to a whole lot of Razor crashes yet, but as that increases, I imagine we'll start seeing
Focus crashes, yeah.
On the road, Razor crashes.
Do you see the little teeny cars coming here?
I've seen some of those European style small cars.
Yeah, yeah.
Look like they're wind ups.
Yeah, seriously. Well, I found out when we were in Amsterdam that there's, you know, they have Amsterdam is the biggest bicycle city in the world. Mm-hmm. They have bikes actually have pretty much right away over pedestrians and cars in Amsterdam. But I found out that these little teeny cars, they're actually legal to park in a bicycle parking spot. And that's why they're becoming popular in Amsterdam because you can actually park them pretty much anywhere.
Well, those roadways in Europe, you need a tiny car to get through some of those.
Yeah, that's true. that's a good point. So, all right, we've got another commercial break. We're going to get in here on the Andy Griffin Show. We're talking with Lieutenant Bergquist and Officer Mitchell. We'll be right back.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back. I'm Andy. Lieutenant Bergquist, Officer Mitchell are here with me from the St. George Police Department. Thank you guys for coming. I really appreciate you being
here. You're welcome. Happy to be here.
Is that microphone being weird on you, Tiffany? I'm sorry.
There might be some technical difficulties over here, but
okay.
We got it.
She'll get it. It's okay. Yeah. Let's go. Cynthia's holding on the phone line for us. Cynthia, what's going on?
Well, I'm glad I called. I'll tell you a bad thing and I'll tell you a good thing. Is that okay? I'll make it quick.
Good news, bad news. I love it.
Okay. Well, I am legally blind, and so I don't see much at all. But I use a cane. When I went to blind school in Salt Lake for 9 months, 6.5 years ago, so I have my skills. And so I'm walking across. I was on the southeast corner of Main and the Boulevard. Mm-hmm. And one of the road workers was walking with me because they'd been doing some, you know, work over there. This is, I don't know, several months ago. And he was walking with me. So we're on the east side going north. And all of a sudden I hear him go, "Hey!" And I thought, what? And someone had come towards us. And then they had turned left, so they went east down the boulevard, and they cut in front of us before I could get to the second lane.
Wow. Wow.
And it's happened in St. George, and it's happened to me in Hurricane, too. And I'm thinking, are you in that big a hurry? Come on, guys. And now I'll tell you the good thing.
Okay.
In Hurricane, I've gotten down to a stop. I'm on State Street, and there's a side road, and I thought I could hear a car coming from the side street. So I'm standing there waiting, and I heard him come up, and I heard him hit his air brakes. And I thought, oh, it's a truck. And then I thought, well, I'll just go around him. Well, before I could do that, I heard him hit his air brakes again. And a few seconds later, he hit him again, and I thought, oh, my goodness. He was pulling a trailer because I could hear the air brakes way down to the right where he was coming up. And I thought, oh, I'm so grateful for this truck driver, because if he hadn't have done that and I'd have tried to go around him, I'd have been squashed.
Oh, wow.
With those other tires. I gave him a thumbs up whether he ever saw me do it or not, but he sat there for quite a while trying to get onto State Street. So, you know, I tell people, say, how do you walk into town? I said, very carefully.
Yeah.
Good answer.
I said, I'm looking out for myself because people don't look. Because I was at the Costa Vida in Hurricane. I mean, I figured out where I was. I was crossing their big driveway, and I got partway in it, and I heard a car, and I stopped. And I heard a lady a few seconds later said, oh, I didn't see you.
Oh,
you must have been behind a bush. And I'm thinking, I'm in the driveway. She says, you can go. And I said, oh, thank you. And in my mind, I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, oh, my gosh. But I will tell you, and people ask me, oh, do you hear better? Whatever you focus on is what you learn.
Because
I was 65 at the time when I lost most of my vision in a 30 to 45-day period and no disease.
Wow.
So I went to blind school in Salt Lake for 9 months, which I'm very grateful for. The state wants us to be productive, you know, people in the state, and I'm grateful, you know?
Yeah, yeah, for sure, Cynthia. I appreciate you calling.
You're welcome.
I think you highlight a good point in you know, oftentimes we feel like we were right, right? I was in the right. For instance, my motorcycle accident. I didn't do anything wrong. In fact, if anything, I saw what was happening. I slowed down because I thought the guy was going to do something stupid, and he did. Unfortunately, I didn't slow down enough and couldn't stop in time and had to lay the bike down. I was right, but guess what? My leg is still messed up from that accident 7 years ago. Doesn't matter how right you are. What really matters is, you have to deal with the effects.
Exactly.
So,
yes.
Cynthia's right. And,
be safe out there, Cynthia.
Yeah, very
Roger,
carefully. That's a good
out and
answer.
About and able to continue on. But
yeah, for sure. Let's see. I think. Well, let's go to this text. Somebody had asked about golf carts, the legality of golf carts on roadways. Did we get any kind of resolution from your experts on this, you guys?
Yeah, in fact, I was just looking over our city ordinance to refresh my memory on some of these things. The city just defined some of the ordinances related to golf carts for us just this last year.
Okay.
So let's go back, because there's state law, right?
State law says
that leads it.
Right. The state law leaves it open for the municipalities to define.
Right.
Okay.
Which
so
is
I
why
think
he's
that's where we
that.
Saw some frustration a year or two ago, where not citizens felt like we weren't taking enough enforcement action when we were really kind of waiting on our municipality to come up with this ordinance. And so now they have defined that. And so what the question is, was it related to driving on sidewalks?
They basically said, I'm going to read it to you. Are golf carts considered vehicles and should use the roadway? I see sometimes where they use sidewalks or bike paths. Is that legal?
So that is not legal. So golf carts should not be on sidewalks or bike paths.
Really? Okay.
And they can only be on residential roads. So roads that are 25 miles an hour or less.
We should never see one on Bluff.
Should never see one on Bluff. Never see one on 3000 East, even though I have.
There are some streets that can be 30 miles an hour.
They can be designated neighborhoods too, like Sun River. That's in their CCRs and they actually have golf cart paths and roadways.
Right.
Some of the other stipulations in our ordinance is a person has to be 16 years or greater to drive a golf cart. They don't have to have a driver's license, but they do have to be 16 or older.
Okay.
And so they also cannot be operated after twilight or before sunrise. So only in the daytime. And then another thing is the people on the golf cart there can only be as many as there are actual factory seats for those. And you see that a lot also, is the kids just kind of piling on them.
Yeah, I've seen that, yeah.
So this ordinance allows us as law enforcement to really start taking some enforcement efforts with regulating this and making it safe. And so I think the one I see a lot is it's usually when I'm in my personal car and driving around, as I see the kids driving to Lynn's on South Mall Drive on 3000, and they're going down in golf carts and
in a golf cart
on the sidewalk, or
which most don't have brake lights and blinkers and license plates and things like that.
Right.
So. Well, and you're talking about young children who haven't taken driver's ed. Mm. They don't understand the consequences. They don't understand the law
and the reaction
and
time.
What
they don't know what the vehicle coming out of the parking lot is planning on doing, or does see them or doesn't see them. Really, hopefully, we're as parents, we're just kind of, when we're giving those options to children, we've got to kind of police it ourselves in our own homes.
I have a Toyota Tundra. Imagine my Tundra impacting a golf cart. That would not be pretty for the golf cart.
Well, and it's usually filled with minor children, small children that.
Yeah. Brad, by the way, texts and says, it's better to be right and alive than dead right. And he also adds, Kolob Terrace is not an ideal place to ride a bicycle. All right, let's go. We got time for one last phone call. Hey, thanks for calling in. What's on your mind?
Is that me?
Yeah, that's you. Go ahead.
I've had a couple of close calls because people haven't turned their lights on early in the evening or late in the morning, you know, when it's still dusk and almost dark. Anything can be done about that?
What's the law first? Is it used to be 30 minutes before the sunrise and after the sunset?
When the sun's going down or the sun's coming up, you should have your headlights on. Typically, if you're driving around and you see everyone else's headlights on, check yours. I think we see a lot of these newer vehicles have the auto.
Right.
And so we're just not in the habit of turning them on ourselves, and you just assume that it did, and sometimes it didn't, or the indicator is off auto and you don't realize it. So I think traditionally we do that little bright when you see somebody, you give them a little headlight bright, and then hopefully that indicates to them that they're not driving with their lights on.
It can be scary when you see someone without their lights, especially if it's a darker car and it's in the dusk or in the pre-dawn and you don't see that car. There was a couple times where I had near misses where I just didn't see the car at all because they were that exact color where they were almost impossible
to see.
Yep. Tiffany, we got just a few seconds. Tell us about some of the police department members that will be coming up. So what do we do expect? We only got 20 seconds, so maybe I caught you off guard.
Off guard. We've got dispatch coming up. Chief will be here in March.
Nice.
Yep.
Animal
Canines
control.
Are coming next month, so Canines. You'll hear about all our dogs.
And Ranger, right?
And Ranger, our newest dog, yes.
Thank you, too, for coming today. Really appreciate
it. You bet. Thanks, everybody.
Stay safe.